time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
All right.
Well, welcome back to the Doc Talks podcast with Shane and Cambry.
Let's go. So you, we'll jump right in, literally. PBY. Tell us about the PBY time.
It was lit. So Soaring by the Sea Foundation reached out to me like a couple weeks ago, a month ago. I told you about, did I tell you when they reached out to me?
Yeah, you bragged. It was more bragging than telling.
How long ago was that?
That was about a month ago.
So, okay, something like that. Like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Come fly with us. Post about us. Okay.
Well, let's back up. I think they didn't say blah, blah, blah. They said, do you have a multi-engine sea rig?
Okay, that's what they said. I said, yes. And then they said, do you want to come fly with us? I said, yes. And so I went to the Spanish Fork Air Show, Wings and Wills and Wings, something like that, in Utah, my home grounds, and volunteered with the Soaring by the Sea Foundation. I know I've said it before and I'll say it again. They're amazing. We had the PBY at the air show, and then we flew it back from Spanish Fork to
Eugene. Let's talk about the air show. Why are you rushing? I mean, you know, what else was there? Sorry. Was there any other cool airplanes there?
Yeah, you know,
that's
the
Patey's home airport, right?
It is.
So, I mean, there had to be.
Scrappy was there.
Scrappy was there.
And all I remember that really stuck in my brain was Scrappy and a Beach 18 on wheels.
Really?
I remember seeing that.
Was it polished or painted?
It was polished. It was so sexy.
Red lines or blue?
Red.
I know the airplane.
It was. I think it was commemorative Air Force. It was so sexy. It honestly was a lot sexier than our Beach 18, if I'm being honest with
whoa,
you.
Whoa.
I think that the polish is just like, it's just so good.
Beach 18's polish, it's an insurmountable job, but it is awesome for sure.
So that was good. And it was funny, I showed up to the air show. There was a billion people there. It was kind of a cluster. Organized chaos is what I would say. Apparently there was a fist fight in the parking lot over parking spaces. I was like, oh dear. That's not good. So, yeah, I walked in.
It went right to work.
The gate people wouldn't let me in without a wristband. I was like, I literally see the airplane I'm working at 10 feet away. I'm waving at the guy who I'm working with. I'm on the phone with him. Like, hi, they won't let me in. Anyways, we got it figured out. I got in. And
did you pay?
No. Heck no.
You cheapskate. Why? You couldn't afford the
$4.
It
was $20 a person.
Oh, my God. Your help, it's going to a good cause.
Yeah, but
you're building Scrappy 2.0. Yeah. The next phase.
Yeah, I'm kind of a douche.
Yeah.
So I didn't pay. I'm a cheapskate, as you say. So then I walked in, and I literally walked in, and they were like, this is the code to the iPads. Ringing people up. I was like, I don't even know how to work this system. Forget the iPad code within 2 minutes. I look over at someone else who I think is working there. I don't know who the volunteers are or not. I'm like, do you know the code to the iPad? He goes, I don't know. I was like, okay. So I'm like, ear music?
No.
Sorry. He said this headphone thing's throwing me off.
You could dump the headphones.
No, I like the headphones. Sorry, I got a little distracted. So anyways, yeah, I was ringing people up. It was really cool. Met a lot of people. It was so busy at the air show. I didn't even look inside of the PBY on the first day. I literally was working from the time I got there till the time I left. I was like, it was a lot of fun, and all the volunteers were super amazing.
Got to see some friends.
Who did I get
to
see?
Saw Sammy.
Oh, yeah, I saw Sammy.
Shout out.
Brody, not Bodie, Brody and his wife and his kid. So cute to see.
Any of the Ethans?
Didn't see any of the Ethans. Not even my Ethan. My brother was there. He didn't even show up.
Really?
Got to see my grandparents.
Okay, so inquiring minds want to know. More me, because I just want to make fun of you. So there's a thing in Utah, I guess, of coffee's bad, but like soda shops are good.
Yeah.
So we call them what? Dirty sodas?
Dirty sodas. The soda shops, they put like random shit in it. Like, oh, you want a Diet Dr. Pepper? Let's add 4 flavorings and some creamer into that and make it unhealthier than it already is unhealthy.
So how many?
It's a miracle. I actually only had two.
We went with mom. You told me a story that was a thing you did.
I literally flew into the airport on an airline, SkyWest.
Shout out.
And I landed and I walked out and there was a strange man who just started chatting. It was really an odd interaction. He was super nice, but I was like, okay. Chatted with him for a while, but it was kind of like, not like, I don't know, I'm getting sidetracked. But my mom picked me up and she had a soda for me.
Out of the gate.
I was like, you were the number one mom. You were my favorite mom. She's my only mom, but she's my favorite.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm glad you clarified that. I mean, it was Salt Lake. There could be multiple moms, right? Wait, sorry. Should not have said that. But, I mean, you never know, showing up to Salt Lake.
So that was good. And went shopping at the mall for some business clothes for a conference we're going to.
Okay, so who cares about clothes?
Sorry.
Just saying. Okay, so if we go back, so we're going to fast forward. PBY, first impressions as you walk up.
That thing's huge. I stood on top of it. They let me climb on top of it, stand on top of the wings. I looked like a little speckle, like an ant.
I think it's got a 102-foot wingspan.
It's like 106 or 116 or something in that ballpark. Thing is massive. It's huge.
Yeah. It's
massive. First impression, massive.
Can we actually, okay, we should probably, we have to do something.
Okay.
As we're going along here, kind of like we didn't give... our corporate sponsor shout out, which we're going to have to do that today. But we also want to thank actually a behind the scenes guy today. So Logan,
the Rogers boy,
single for all the ladies out there, is not here. He actually went back east to watch one of his friends graduate boot camp. So that's awesome. He's actually flying back right now. He's sitting in Dallas, Fort Worth on this, but we have a fill in Logan and I think it's probably more mature, better looking, funnier.
You really think so?
Yeah. So we've got Logan Brody.
5.0.
Logan 5.0. Yeah. We've got Brody here sitting here filling in for Logan. So we want to thank him on the soundboard.
Can we give a shout out to all of, you know, Brody's real name is Bodie, but sometimes I'm like, which one is his real name again? His real name's Bodie.
Honestly, I'm confused now as well.
You're like, what is my name again, actually?
We should give a shout out. He has a beautiful wife that puts up with him. And yeah. I think putting up with him takes a lot.
Shout out to my wife.
So, yeah.
Bodie's how many hours now? About?
I just hit 1,100, actually.
1,100. Yep. Wow, look at you go.
Almost fireable.
That's right. We learned that today. Just about to the finish line of being fired.
Close.
Only a couple hundred left to go.
So, no, we want to thank you, Bodie, for stepping up and helping us out on this. Because we don't know what we're doing. So, we're here doing it. Okay, so, sorry for everybody that kind of that was a shiny thing. But I did want to thank him for that. So, we walk up. Massive airplane. They're super massive airplanes. I mean, hull-wise, wing-wise, everything about the PBY.
Just a lot of wing on the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is cool. They've got the coolest windows, I think, in airplanes.
The blisters,
yeah. They are spectacular.
They're huge windows. It literally looks like someone took a boat, was like, what if this boat could fly? And then they put wings and an engine on it and made it fly.
Yeah.
It flies, like, so slow, it crawls.
Just creeps along. So, you guys blast off. It sounded like you've got a handful of... There was a pilot that was getting his SIC rating on this flight.
Yeah.
We talked about getting you your SIC rating, but you didn't quite have the time.
No.
Because there was somebody else ahead of you.
That's all right. It was still a cool experience and to fly the thing. The plane has so much history. It flew in World War II and it sunk a submarine.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that so badass of that plane?
No, that's awesome. That is cool.
It's like a 43 or something. It's crazy. It's not even that much older than the Beaver.
Yeah, it was really the same vintage.
Like 9 years.
Yeah. So flying it, I mean, I am curious. Me and you haven't. We've kind of left talking about it for
the podcast.
So I do have a lot of questions. I'm assuming with as big as it is, it's crazy heavy and slow as it is, crazy heavy on the controls.
Oh, yeah. Super heavy on the controls. And it likes to sway. The tail likes to do a wiggle.
Okay.
Like a fishtail situation.
It's a V-tail bonanza.
Yeah, you really have to dance on the rudders. You could tell in the back. We all kind of took turns flying it. But when you were sitting in the back, you could tell when the real pilot, the PIC type rated pilot, was flying and when someone else got on the controls, because you were like, ooh, side to side in the back, like, ooh, I'm going to get sick back here. And even just flying it, like, my legs were a little tired, not even going to lie, after. I was like, okay,
was it really
just a leg workout. Yeah, it's just a different, I mean, it's just a different dog. I'm sure after you've flown for a while, you just flown it for a while, you don't even think about it.
You get used to it as anything.
But, yeah, no, it's a big plane. It flies big. It's slow. I thought that thing flew way faster than it did.
I followed you guys on FlightAware, I think, or, yeah, FlightAware.
Something.
It was much faster than I anticipated it going.
That's because we had a good tailwind.
Yeah, I think when you guys took off, I think you originally had, like, 157 across the ground, which I thought was blazing fast for that.
I know. We were all, like, huddled around the iPad with 4Flight open, like, gawking at the ground speed. Like, oh, my gosh, look at our ground speed, guys. Like,
no, that is great. So you made it back. I think, what was the total time? 6 hours, 5 hours?
Yeah, it was a long flight. It was about 6 hours, five and a half maybe. But it was a lot of fun. Everyone on the plane was super, super cool. Like, the volunteers were so amazing. Everyone was so nice. Like, I have not a single bad thing to say. They were amazing. If you're ever in Eugene, go check them out. Like, Soaring by the Sea Foundation. Check them out on Instagram and check out their website. Like, they're really cool. They have a cool thing going on. They have a P-40, a Sky Raider.
Yeah.
Obviously, the PBY.
Some cool airplanes together for sure. So, seaplanes. So, it was the biggest seaplane you've ever flown. One of the biggest seaplanes
in
the world.
Yeah, I guess. I was doing research. It's either like the sixth or the seventh biggest seaplane, I guess.
Okay.
The Spruce Goose takes the cake by far. No one will ever beat the Spruce Goose.
I don't know if any of us going to get to fly that.
I don't think so either.
I would give it a whirl.
I don't even think it counted as a... You know what? That's a little controversial.
No, phew. It flew.
For
right?
What?
It flew. It doesn't matter for what. It flew. It fired up. It took off, left the water. It flew.
That's like saying when I jump, I fly. No, I agree. It's really cool. That plane's awesome. It flew. It flew for sure. That is a cool plane, this Spruce Goose.
He did what he said he was going to do. So
yeah, no, I love it.
So
rest in peace.
So let's, again, super envious of the PBY stuff. It sounds like we may be going out there to do some fundraising next month.
I guess this today's month? The first. I guess this month, 2.5 weeks.
We're going to run out there for an afternoon or a day, it sounds like, and do some stuff there. That's pretty neat. I get to talk to some of those guys, so I'm looking forward to that. So this is a great transition of one. Seaplanes are the greatest thing ever, I think.
Since sliced bread.
Well, I don't know. Since cheese.
Cheese? When was cheese invented?
I don't know. A long time ago, but...
Flying is so young. Aviation is so young. 1903?
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things.
Like, I hope that year I just got correct. Pretty sure that's when they flew, 1903.
I hope you got it right. No, you did. Let's transition into what your journey was. And I think we talked about this a little bit. You know, let's just talk about the seaplane side of things. Because we get asked the question. Actually, I think I was on speakerphone and talked to one of your friends today.
I hope he's listening.
About just this. Yeah, hopefully, he's one of the Ethans and Nathans.
He's one of the Ethans.
One of the Ethans. Hopefully, one of the Ethans is listening. So, your journey on doing this, we both are very passionate about seaplane flying. We love flying in general. Seaplane flying, I think, holds a spot in both of our hearts. We enjoy it. We love it. All of those things. So, what was your journey in getting up to flying the PBY? Like, that's an opportunity that... what are we going to say? 50 people in the world, 100 people in today's day and age have
like flown,
would be able
flown,
to do that?
Not just had flown it. Yeah.
I mean, you know, during the war and in the 40s, there was a lot of pilots, right? Many, many, many guys, young men flew those all over the world. But today's day and age, just to have the opportunity, is there's 6 or 7 of them flying, I think. I don't know what the number is.
Theirs is the only one that lands on water.
The only one?
Yeah. One of two, or maybe it's the only one. Most PBYs don't land on the water anymore because it's just not.
They're leaking too much.
Yeah.
So you did your stuff, your single-ended stuff, and you're not going to jump right into a multi. We talk about this all the time and tell people, because you're not going to jump from whatever license you have to a multi-engine sea license.
No.
It's not going to happen for anybody. So what was your journey?
Seaplane-wise?
Yeah.
Went up to Alaska. I don't even really know what sparked my thing to go to Alaska. I think I just decided one day I'm going to get my seaplane rating. Looked online, found a place, went up to Alaska, got my seaplane rating, fell in love with it. It was the funnest flying I'd ever done. Kind of had a thing where I realized life's too short to not do what you love, I guess. Not to get too deep in the bushes there, but I was like, oh shit, like I'm gonna die one day. That's not, like, why am I want to fly seaplanes. That's what I want to do. I'm not gonna wait till I'm retirement age to fly seaplanes, because who knows. So decided that's what I wanted to do.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
After that moment, I knew where I wanted to go work, emailed the guy every month with an update of my hours, really thought I was going to get the job. Then I got the thanks but no thanks email probably around March. That's when I started calling everybody. That's when I came to you and came up here in March and learned to fly the Beaver. That's mainly what you had me in to start the season. Probably the first 3 weeks is in the Beaver.
Yep. Then we transitioned to the 18.
Yeah.
Spent some time in the 18 and then back and forth. So, yeah, we won't go too deep on that, and we're playful and whatever, but it's part of aviation. We'll just touch on during your journey or right after your journey, you lost an instructor friend.
Yep.
In an airplane accident. They happen. It was an accident. One of those deals, not a good deal. But that kind of sparked you, like you say, of, hey, I love seaplanes, and this is something that is pretty cool. And like you say, life is short, so enjoy that, right?
Yeah.
So go out there. Didn't mean to push a button for you.
But yeah.
It's something that happens, right?
It's just the reality of it. And then it's like, whoa, like.
Super great guy. Told everything he had. Like, he was a badass. So I've heard a lot of stories about him, so that's pretty cool. And it should make all of us think that if anybody's on here, aviation. Like, if you're not aviation, you're just coming for the entertainment, like, hey, there's accidents. I could get hit by a bus. We joke about it. I could get hit by lightning.
It's calculated risk, right?
Absolutely.
So risk versus consequence. I'd say aviation is relatively low risk, but the consequences is a lot higher.
The consequences is higher when potentially we do something wrong or there's a problem. The other side of it is there's not too many industries, just talking about this a little bit, and we get it a lot and asked a lot in aviation, but 80% of our training is emergencies.
Yeah.
Right? We're training for everything to go wrong every single flight.
Literally, I will not solo a student, and I don't think anyone should solo a student until I know with 100% certainty if this engine fails, they're walking away from it. Like, that's it. I look back on training. Okay. It's like, can you fly the airplane and can you live through an emergency?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. So, yeah, so it happens. It is what it is. But that really sparked aviation is what I want to do, and seaplanes specifically.
Yeah.
So you reached out and kind of did that stuff. You reached out to me. We talked about how you know, you ended up here, which is uncommon. Like, we talk about, like, that all the time. Like,
the exception, like one in a million, like, this shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And we joke about it.
You've sparked I love it. Like, you've sparked so much interest with your social media presence. I give you a hard time, but you do have quite a few you have a large following on Instagram for sure, and probably other places. But you've sparked, like, loads of young people wanting to do seaplane stuff, which is amazing. That's great. And we do a lot of people get their single engine C rating every year. But you've sparked a lot more. Now, something that you sparked to me and you talk about all the time, and we talked about it today. And really, when you look at the numbers, like, to do what you do and say, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, like, everybody should follow their dreams, but that's a pretty small number. So
yeah,
to be able to have a door open up for you. And you kind of prove that of how many calls you had to make and how many no's you had to take and eat a lot of crow before you got an opportunity. There's a lot of people that want to do it that may not ever get that opportunity, but I'll start here of saying seaplane flying, if you love aviation, is some of the flying you can do. It's amazing.
It is so fun. Yeah, I love it. I was grumpy today because I didn't get to fly seaplanes yesterday. You literally told me I was grumpy today.
You were.
And then I went and flew a seaplane. I feel like it put me in a little bit of a better mood.
Yeah. So, you know, a little bit about seaplane stuff or getting your license. I'm not going to say easy, but it's when you look at all of the different licenses and ratings that you can get, seaplane stuff is one, it's fun. Two, it's not super time consuming. You know, the biggest question that we always get, no matter if it's single engine or multi-engine, is where's the study guide and how much ground time am I going to get with this training? And most of it is reading. The FAA puts out a phenomenal handbook that has a lot of information in it. Yeah, you could read it in 30 minutes of really sitting down and kind of going through it.
Oh, that was all I need to know about seaplanes. Half the book is literally skis.
Yeah, there was a lot in that.
Flying skis.
And then we've got our own syllabus and our own information that we hand out. But really, in 4 or 5 hours of studying, you're pretty much ready for the oral side of a single engine check ride.
Yep.
Seaplane. Oh, everybody gets super concerned with that. And then they like, oh, how long is it going to take? Well, you've heard me say this, kind of a broken record player. And for anybody that's thinking about seaplane stuff, is we typically say if you're a tailwheel girl or guy, okay, so it means you're proficient at tailwheel, you're probably going to be 5 to 7 hours, okay? If you're not a tailwheel, you're probably going to be 6 to 8 hours, maybe 9. And, you know, for the upper echelon, if you're coming from, you know, a 7.3 or 7.5, 7.6, 7.4, 777, you're probably going to be 10 hours. And the reason is,
if you're like a low time, just got my license. I've been flying a 172 for my whole life.
How many hours did it take you?
It took me...
Okay, so you're right in there.
When I got it, it was like, I think I was, most of my time was in a 172 and I was 300 hours.
Okay, so, I mean, you made it happen. So yeah, that's kind of what it takes, but it's fun. It doesn't matter what you're doing and where you're going to do it. It is a blast to do seaplane stuff. I mean, you show up in flip-flops and shorts to go fly an airplane.
You're used to being so stressed about your check rides, because if you're doing it, you've done all these stressful check rides, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yada, yada, yada.
We had a guy
sleep the night before.
We had a guy and a son, last week?
Yeah.
Do theirs. And I told him, because the son did it because he's heading to the airlines time building, and the dad did it just to do it. The dad was a private pilot. The son was a
private pilot.
That one's kind of a weird one because they've only ever done their private pilot, which is probably the most nerve-wracking check ride you've ever done because you don't know what you're going into. And then all of a sudden they're thrown to the wolves of a private pilot. And then the next one out of the gate is a, you know, single engine C, which is one of the easiest check rides. Not that it's easy, but one of the
least stressful.
Yeah, there you go. Check rides of the whole bunch. And I told him, like, you heard me. I'm like, listen, don't take this check ride as like they're all downhill from here, because it's going to be your instrument, your commercial, all of those are going to be a monster moving ahead. Don't take this one as for granted. But so you got that, and that's kind of what it takes. So you can come up to us. You can guys go down to Florida. You can go down to Louisiana. You can go to Alaska. Alaska's got a handful of them. There's probably, I don't know, 10, 15 pretty good locations to run around and do your single engine C stuff.
Yeah.
For sure. And there's loads of single engine C pilots. I can't tell you how many people come to me and be like, I got that when I was 17 back in, you know, 1952.
You know, there's not that many seaplane pilots. It's about 5% of pilots. Last time
I looked. If we get 600,000 pilots, that's still a pretty decent number.
Yeah, but 5% is pretty low.
30,000 pilots?
Okay, the 5% is what I'm looking at. Yeah, it's 30, a lot 000. Of people. It's a lot of people, but like in the grand scheme of things,
it's
5%,
yeah,
that's
really small. It's a small club, for sure.
So with that being said, though, I mean, if you're not wanting to get it because it sounds fun, that's fine. Do it because it's going to set you apart from every single person that has a resume that looks just like your resume.
Did we not say that today to a young man today?
Yeah, no, literally on the phone with Ethan. Like, hello.
He had a dream of potentially becoming a CFI for seaplanes, which that's a great dream. Follow that. But don't get your seaplane rating expecting that to happen, because it's a pretty, I mean, when you look at the 5% of pilots And then you look at how many flight schools are truly out there and how many CFIs are at those flight schools.
It has to be something you want to do. It doesn't have to be something. It can't be something you want to do because you think it'll be easier.
I think it makes you a better pilot.
Getting your seaplane rating? Yeah. Absolutely. I think any rating you can get or even like any endorsement like Tailwheel High Performance Complex, like that makes you a better pilot. And diversifies your resume.
Yep. That'd be the biggest thing when people are looking at it.
And then the guy from a couple weeks ago who got his rating with his son came in yesterday and was like, you need to talk about how cool and fun it is to get your seaplane rating. Because he was like, I tell people I got my seaplane rating and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. It doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound cool.
It's the most fun you can have in an airplane.
It is hands down. Like, I've landed on backcountry strips in Idaho in a 185, 30 miles from the nearest trailhead. That's fun, but seaplane flying
was it fun? Almost having to walk out for your life.
Oh yeah, that was.
I'm starving to death.
I just kind of accepted my fate when that happened. That is a story. Boy, is that a story. We ended up
someday that'll have to come up.
Oh, that is such a good story. Literally, guys, on that trip, we thought we were going to get trapped in the wilderness for a week because we had a maintenance issue. But
somebody in a 210 saved you.
Yeah, someone in a 210 saved us. We were literally, the boys got their fishing poles and went down to the river to start finding us food because we were worried we wouldn't have enough food. But that was really cool. That was a good experience. And that was a lot of fun, and the backcountry flying's fun. But seaplane flying, you're backcountry and you're on the water.
Everything's a runway.
Yeah.
Well, everything that's water. Or a runway one time.
Yeah, anything could be a runway once.
So, yeah, it's just exhilarating. It teaches you I tell everybody when you get your seaplane rating, you're going to be able to see the wind and read the water.
Yeah.
You'll start picking up wind from the weirdest things that you never think about as a pilot, from the way ripples are coming across the water to trees and smoke and flags and all kinds of tells of what that looks like doing that. So I think that's huge. So do it because it's fun. If you love aviation, if you're just heading to the airlines for the money, don't get your seaplane rating. It's going to be a grind.
Why? Yes, get your seaplane rating. Hello?
No.
To get your seaplane rating? What are you talking about? You just got done saying that it's the easiest check ride.
It is, but the guy that's going, that doesn't love aviation, that's going for the dollars. I want to be a double-breasted Delta pilot. They're coats, double-breasted coats. Delta pilot.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For anybody that doesn't know. But, you know, I mean, if that's what they want to do, then they probably aren't going to enjoy seaplane rating.
Yeah, but sure, but still get it because no one's getting hired right now. It's going to make your resume stand out in a pile of resumes that look just like yours.
Yeah, well, that's
still
true.
Still get it.
Leave it for the guys that love aviation.
You can't gatekeep it.
We want those guys to be at the top of the pile.
You can't gatekeep aviation.
Sure we can. You guys are just in it for the money. Get out. Get at the bottom of the line. Bottom of the pile. If you love aviation, okay, come get your seaplane. Go get it. Listen to Cambry. Don't listen to Cambry. Listen to me.
We have to support our fellow seaplane businesses.
I'm saying. They can go anywhere. I mean, there's Florida. There's Alaska. There's Louisiana. There's some stuff in the East Coast. No, there's some phenomenal, phenomenal flight schools out there. We are a flight school, but that's not our bread and butter. There's flight schools out there that's their bread and water. Come to us if you guys want to have fun and be made fun of by Cambry and, you know, those types of things. You can meet Bodie. He'll take you out to lunch. He's got a very nice Jeep, Cherokee Grand Wagoneer something.
It's kind of broken, but it works.
Yeah, the
it
windows drives. Don't roll down, but he'll take you to lunch and buy you a burger or whatever. But, so diversify your portfolio. So, okay, we've got our commercial. Oh, and get your... excuse my language. Kids, bleep that out. We're going to bleep that out. I typically recommend getting your commercial seaplane rating rather than your private seaplane rating. This is going to sound crazy to everybody. There is one more maneuver that we do in a private seaplane rating that you don't have to do in a commercial seaplane rating, and that is an emergency descent. We demonstrated in a commercial, so we don't have to demonstrate it on water for a commercial, but you do have to do it for your private, and that's something.
Also, it doesn't make sense. I mean, me personally, I don't think it makes sense for you to go get your seaplane rating after you get your private pilot, if you're still planning on getting your commercial, just wait to get your seaplane rating until you have your commercial.
Wait to get your seaplane rating, multi-engine rating.
Everything. Because then if you don't wait, then you're going to have to do another check ride for that same thing. Like if someone comes up and is like, private pilot, hi, I'm going to go to the airlines, I'm going to get my commercial rating. They come out with their private pilot, get their private pilot seaplane rating, go get their commercial. Then they're like, oh, I want commercial privileges. Let me go do a second seaplane check ride. Just doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, that's idiotic. The people don't say that and do
well,
that.
Well, it's not idiotic. We had the kid do it last week. He just wasn't old enough to get his commercial.
His dad didn't have it, and he was just up here having fun. But it's not a career for him. If aviation is a career path for you and you're collecting ratings, do your commercial before you do your seaplane. If it's just you can do it and you want to do it, then go do it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
A single engine commercial is not going to get you in the left or the right seat, and probably or even in the back of a PBY without a large wad of cash.
That's probably true. Unless you know somebody who knows somebody.
Do you know anybody that knows somebody?
No. You know, I get asked the question quite a bit of like...
Here it comes.
How do you... What do you think? Wait, go ahead.
No, I'm listening.
Okay. Are you sure? Wait, what do you think I was
going to say? No, let's go ahead.
Okay. I get asked the question a lot. How do you get these opportunities? And I want to answer that question on air.
Okay, please do. Please.
Well, okay. So, the answer to the question, you see, it is... Be annoying and... Network your little butt off. You know what really just irks me? Shane?
Oh, am I supposed to? What irks you, Camry? You what Thank irks you?
You? When
¿Buscas las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's? ¡Estás justo a tiempo! Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. ¿Estás pensando ya en poner luces navideñas? Aprovecha ahorros de hasta 50% en escaleras selectas. Precios de Black Friday sin las filas de Black Friday. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta el 11/19. Selección varía por tienda. Solo en tiendas selectas hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
People don't show up, don't make phone calls, and just send emails to places. Like, you know how many emails we get on the Brooks email?
Nobody believes me. When I say we get 400 resumes a year on people wanting to go come work for Brooks, they
show
don't believe me.
Show up and make a damn phone call, would ya? That's going to make you stand out a little bit more. Show up, shake hands, shake elbows, rub hands. Shake hands, rub elbows, whatever you want to say. Rub elbows and shake hands.
I've never heard that.
Just network. That's
weird. What are we, COVID?
Just network or something. And also, you guys, I think social media is a great tool. Like a lot of my opportunities have actually come from social media. So make a social media, start posting. You're going to feel, I felt stupid when I started, but I don't care. I probably do look stupid now, but I don't care. Thanks to my social media, I got to go fly a PBY, so.
Brody has said early on, before you came here, that you look stupid in your social media.
Brody,
that was
I did not say said. That.
Yeah.
This is not true.
That's...
Damn.
I'm sorry.
The persistency, I will say that. You know, but don't back yourself into a corner. Keep chasing.
Mean?
Well, just that. So I think it's great that you were as persistent as you have. You got into an industry that pretty difficult to get into. Social media or no, persistent or not, emails or not, phone calls or not. It just kind of the stars lined up. And sometimes that happens, right? I mean, it was definitely your persistency and all of the no's that you've got that got you a yes. Right. I mean, I say that to my kids. I say that to everybody. How many no's does it take before you get a yes? You got to run through the no's, and you ran through the no's and you got the yes. So that's, I would say that for everybody else too.
But what's the best experience you had in a seaplane, Shane?
The best what?
The best seaplane experience you've had.
Best seaplane experience I've had.
Because we got to get the viewers hyped up on seaplane. Because I guess there's some people out there that are haters. They don't think it's cool or fun.
Well, there's all kinds of haters out there.
Yeah,
everybody
but
that
we
got to
convert them.
Everybody
we can't have everybody going out, seaplanes are lame.
Yeah, you but that's what gets our likes on these podcasts.
No, I know,
you
but...
You guys suck.
No, but
all
I'm
the
just
bad
talking
comments.
About the Joe Schmoes that are just like, boo, seaplanes, boo, not cool, not fun.
Joe Schmo probably owns a Cherokee 180.
Bodhi, I'm so sorry.
That's not nice.
We usually aren't this... Yeah, we are this mean. You are this mean to Logan.
My Cherokee is the best plane built. Shout out to Piper for that.
For that. No, that was
not a sponsor.
That was a dig at...
Not a corporate sponsor.
Not a corporate sponsor. That was a dig at Bodhi here. But no, for the people that don't understand, it's hard to explain. It's amazing to land. When you go out... You know when you have a greaser and you've got like your spouse or friend or like... just whatever with you, and it's just like that perfect landing. It's so much better on water. I can't explain it.
Both my landings today, I was such an asshole. I landed so far from the dock because I had pilots on board, and I wanted to have a good landing, and there was wakes. I was like, oh, I don't care. I'm landing so far away.
I know. I saw you land, and then I went... I went and landed... And then I went and or I saw you land, and then I went back and took a nap.
I know. 45 it's like minutes a 40-minute taxi.
But it's, yeah, you just can't explain it. It's exhilarating. It's fun. You're low level for people that, a lot of people aren't comfortable low level. So all of a sudden, when you're like 500 feet or below, it's a whole different
game. It's a different game.
I think just that in itself teaches you some security of, okay, this is what we can do at 500 feet. Because we typically like, 1,000 feet or higher, like that's where we got to be.
Yeah.
So when you get that 500 feet or below and you're doing some stuff down there, like it's like, okay, well, we can land.
It's a little unnerving for some people. So what's your best seaplane experience?
My best seaplane experience for sure was I flew with a gentleman by the name of Alex. When I got the airplane from
the
Sky
18.
Harbor Airport, the Beach 18, Sky Harbor Airport in Duluth, Minnesota. Shout out to Sky Harbor Airport. Across country. And we had had some, I'll tell you that experience. It's kind of funny, but we had some rough interactions.
You didn't step on the right. What do you say? You didn't get off on the right foot.
We didn't get off on the right foot, I think. So that first interaction of me and Alex was me showing up, tentative, we had a deal bought. I show up, the airplane had just got out of an extensive annual with a very big shop. Everything was new. Everything was great. Yada, yada. He's an airline guy, young guy. I show up, rental car to the airport or Uber. He's not there. We pull the airplane out with the mechanic, run it up on it, checking everything out. Everything looks good. And expensive annual. Run it up. And there's a dead mag. So right out of the gate, I'm like, what is going on? This just came out of a phenomenal shops, you know, and mags go out. But it was like, I'm trying to think. It must have been a Thursday, Friday morning. We ran it up. He had done a flight. He flew in the middle of the night, went home, got some sleep, was going to wake up, come and meet me there Friday. We're going to do some stuff and then go. And something happened to his schedule to where he didn't come in. So we're there. It's Friday. I'm in Minnesota, ready to fly this airplane back. And the airplane doesn't run. And I'm like, this is probably, I should not do this. So I'm calling him and I can't get him because he's flying. I'm texting him, said, hey, we've got a dead mag. I'm calling people. I didn't know who to call. He's like, I'll take care of it. Meet me there, you know, first thing in the morning. So I'm like, okay. So I go back to the hotel, spend another night there, come back the next morning. I think it's Saturday morning now. He had dropped the mag off at the airplane. So he drove to the airplane, then drove back home an hour or whatever, dropped the mag off. I get there and there's no tools in this hangar. So I'm like, I can't change a mag. It's, you know, the mechanic was going to the lake, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he shows up a couple hours later. We borrow somebody's tools, change the mag, get the airplane up and running. Everything's good. Like, okay, we're going to leave the next morning, and he had to go back to work. So Sunday, we're going to leave. We're going to fly here. And he had kind of been grumpy. I had kind of been grumpy. And then there was another silent partner that had been involved that nothing was, it just wasn't a happy deal. So then I'm like, I'm going to be stuck in this airplane for 12 hours with this fucking guy. You know, and it's one thing to get in an airplane and go an hour with somebody you're not super passionate about being next to, but to spend 12 hours like, oh, this is going to be quite possibly the most brutal thing in my life. But you got to do it. So we show up, you know, 5 a.m., 4 a.m., whatever it was, Minnesota time. Fuel up the airplane, fuel up all the fuel tanks in the airplane so we can make it because there's only a couple stops, you know, back and forth if anybody's ever done that in a float plane. You got to make it to Fort Peck. Fort Peck. You can land there and get fuel. So we're taxiing around. You know, I've never been in a multi-engine sea, so this was my first time in a multi-engine sea. Blast off. And I'm like, this is... even in the morning, it was just kind of... We were both kind of grumpy with one another. And he looks over at me as I'm on the takeoff roll. Or maybe I just rotated. And he goes, do you mind if we do something? I said, okay, what's that? He's like, hey, one of the pilots or the mechanic, I forget who it was now. That's horrible. Lives right up over here. Been with the airplane forever. It'd mean the world to me and him if we could do a flyby out of his house. Well, one thing I'm known for all over is I love a flyby. So I said, okay, let's do a flyby. So, well, you know, how are we going to do this flyby? And we got to talking. I said, okay, you know, of course, we're going to be 1,000 feet above person, place, right, or thing to keep it legal. So we did a wonderful flyby of this gentleman's house at 1,000 feet. And worked our way back, and we were low level across the country for 12 hours together. And, you know, he was happy down low. I was happy down low, you know, and we became good friends still to this day. We're really good friends, but it took that. But yeah, that was probably my favorite seaplane experience because it was long. Like, I didn't know the airplane. Is this thing going to make it? And there's nothing when you leave Duluth until you get to Fort Peck. Well, you're crossing the river there a couple times, but there's not a lot of options.
Yeah.
So that was it. That's my favorite.
That's a good story. I think you've told me that story before. I like that story.
Do you have a favorite?
Well, mine's not as like good as yours now. I had one in my mind, but it's like it only takes like 20 seconds to tell my story.
Is it the one where you forgot to put the flaps in and we both looked at each other as we're ripping across the lake?
Wait, I'll tell that story, but that wasn't my favorite seaplane story, but that is a seaplane story.
Oh, I thought that was your favorite.
We're taking off. It's a hot day. We are loaded up. And Shane was with me on this flight. It was me and him in the front. And we're like going. Like, it was a busy day. We have a flight like every hour. Like, okay, get these people off. Okay, safety briefing, load up, let's go again. Like, nonstop. So it's like the evening. It's probably like a 4 or 5 o'clock flight. And it's hot. The lake is busy.
It's bumpy.
It's like the 5th or 6th flight of the day. I'm like, okay, I'm a little tired. Shane's with me. I don't know where you were at.
I was talking mentally to the person behind you.
Okay. You were at Chatty Cathy-ing
it up. I was Chatty Cathy-ing.
We take off, and I knew it was going to be a long takeoff roll because it was hot. I don't think there was a lot of wind, and we were loaded. We were really heavy. So I was like, okay, whatever.
We're close to gross, for sure. Close to gross.
So we're doing our roll, and we're like, I'm like, man, the South Shore is approaching awfully quickly. I feel like we should be off by now. This is kind of strange. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Like, I look at my RPMs and my manifold pressure. I'm like, okay, well, that looks fine. Okay, what else could it be?
I remember I looked over at the airspeed. I did the same thing. I did a quick glance, and I'm like, huh, we're kind of getting hammered here on
like,
the water.
All my
like,
engine
I wanna
instruments
be flying.
Are fine. Like, my airspeed's looking good. Like, I'm at flying speed. Why aren't we flying? And then I look out to my side, so I'm like, is it like what?
I think we did it simultaneously.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. I didn't say it out loud, but nice. I forgot my flaps. So I add my flaps in, and we just looked at each other like, wow, we're idiots. And then just like that, we were flying.
Yeah. It's amazing what 2 pumps of a beaver flaps will do for a beaver to get it off the water.
So that was a seaplane story, not necessarily my brightest moment. I was about ready to abort the takeoff. I was like, yeah, we're gonna have to abort this. Like, sorry, I guess we're just too heavy today. That was, you know, sometimes you just make stupid mistakes.
Absolutely. You know, anybody that says they don't is 100% wrong.
Lying.
They do all the time. And you just kind of get in, you eat running through the checklist and you do all the things normal and you hit one to where it's like, oh, this is kind of a bonehead.
Yeah, like, wow, okay, I'm stupid. And I have never done it since. It was like a one-and-done situation. I'm sure I'll make a stupid...
I do it 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah.
I legitimately will do it. And for anybody out there listening, flaps and float planes are hand-in-hand, as long as you have flaps. If you're running a J3...
Especially in the Beaver.
But yeah, in the Beaver, it's a necessity.
You don't get off the water if you don't have flaps in.
Okay, so now you have piqued my curiosity. And hopefully the one listener that's listening. Hopefully we get a new listener. Maybe we're going to have 2 because if we've got Brody here, maybe he could talk his wife into listening for his commentary.
I hope so.
I'm going to have her watch for sure.
Make sure you post it on Facebook too.
Oh, I'm going to repost.
Good.
For sure.
Good, good, good. So, yeah, my favorite seaplane experience, actually. I guess I have two. One was the second time I went back up to Alaska to fly after my instructor had passed. And it was just like, this is like, you just look at it a little bit different, I think. Different perspective. Second was our first sunset tour we did. I was flying the Beav. You were there with me, right seat. And that, it was probably in May, the first sunset tour. We were running up the Chain Lakes. I'd never been up the Chain Lakes before. And I just was like, in awe, like, wow, like, okay, this is beautiful. We're flying on and off a lake. This is amazing. Like, pinch me, I'm dreaming. Like, I had a tear trickle down my face. I know, I'm coming out of the closet with it.
Bug getting in your eye?
Yeah, no, I was just like, wow, like, happy tear rolling down my face. Like, whoa, like, holy cow, this is like, I won't ever forget that day. My third favorite seaplane experience was also on a sunset tour, and somehow a massive bug the size of a quarter somehow ended up inside of the airplane and splattered right on my chest. Do you remember that? And you're like, fly the airplane.
I was like, there's a dead bug
all over me.
I don't remember either one of those. That's hilarious.
So there you go.
Yeah, Alaska's beautiful.
It's amazing.
But
I love it.
There's something about the Chain Lakes. I say it. I've flown all
over
Alaska.
I always think you're being facetious when you say that.
I swear to you, I don't know. There's a couple places that, you know, Gonzaga Bay in Mexico holds a near place to my heart. But that 10 minutes that we run up the Chain Lakes, when the sun's just right, the water's right, and the wind's just right, like, it's spectacular. The green and all the water and everything, they're there at low level. It's awesome.
Yeah, I love the sunset tours.
Yeah. No, that is, if you come up and fly with Cambry, make sure that you guys get a sunset tour.
And it doesn't have to be at sunset. We can still do the sunset route during the day.
But they have to take the whole airplane.
What are you talking about?
Well, they got to pay because the sunset tour is more because we burn more fuel.
Sure.
So they'd have to...
Pay the 200. Yeah.
Okay. Pay the 200. Cambry will take you on the sunset tour. So, yeah, so we got off track, and that's typically what we do. So hopefully somebody's finds this at least semi-entertaining. Multi-engine C, really small community rating. License.
Yeah, not a lot of people. Most people that have it did an air cam.
A lot of people that have it did an air cam. Although there was a shout out to JoJo and the Shubley family out of Arizona.
They're in Kingman now.
Kingman, but... They had a Beach 18 on floats and still do. It's great. I think it's really close to being done and having it up and flying. They did a lot of multi-engine Cs back in the day. Our airplane's done a lot of multi-engine Cs. Now, when I say a lot, like, you're saying 5% of pilots are
single engine C.
Commercial, like, the number for multi-engine C is such a small number. It's tiny. But we do a handful this year. We've probably done 30 or 40. So, a lot of young ladies and women in general are getting into their multi-engine C. Check ride for that. Would you recommend it?
Oh my gosh. Yes. 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 Now, if you're not going to do it because it's cool and because you love it, do it because it's a great conversation starter at an interview.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you did your multi-engine C in a what? A what? A Beach 18? You flew a Beach 18 on floats? Great conversation starter. What's his face that works at Coletta now? That was like his whole interview.
That was his interview.
Shooting the shit about the Beach 18 on floats.
Yeah, he had a bunch of time in it. So it does open a lot of doors for you for sure. So I would highly recommend. I highly recommend it. It's costly to run a Beach 18. So I'll start with that. But if you can financially swing it, it's the most fun you can have with your clothes on. Literally, the Beach 18 is spectacular. It flies amazing. It's just a fun airplane to fly. There's so much history in Beach 18s, you know, and
in that one especially. That one's had a cool life. Your Beach 18 has had a cool life.
It absolutely has, yeah, for sure. And there's six of them flying in the world right now. Probably another five or six that could be made flying.
On floats.
But super cool airplane. I think it's you can't compare it to a Turbine Otter. Twin Otter, right? But I say it's one of the best flying float planes I've ever been in.
It's easier to fly than the Beaver.
For sure. yeah, it's got 900 horsepower. It does what it wants it. It does what you want it to do. But that being said, super fun, super awesome rating. And that really was what got you the opportunity to fly the PBY. Yeah. Anybody, if you want to fly an Albatross, a PBY, any heavy seaplane iron, a Goose, a Mallard, those, like, your multi-engine C is going to open that door because that's a small number. Somebody that's 20 years old that has that rating, all these other people are going to age out. Like, eventually, somebody's going to knock on your door and be
was
like...
Was it you that told me for, like, every 10 old multi-engine seaplane pilot, there's one young multi-engine seaplane pilot?
Yeah, I think that it's probably... That's typically what I tell people. It's just a number that it's hard to get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody's opening up. No, I mean, that call to you is... I've never heard that before, ever. You know, you'll hear the guy that hopefully my, you know... 4,000 hours of multi-engine seaplane time someday gets me a phone call of, hey, I need somebody to fly, you know, a PBY or an Albatross or a Mallard or something like that. Because even guys that own those airplanes don't have a lot of time in it. And as those guys age out, those airplanes are either going to sit derelict or they need somebody to fly it. Well, just because you have the rating doesn't mean that you have the hours for an insurance company to say, okay, we're going to trust you to be able to become a PIC.
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody your age, I mean, you look at somebody my age, okay, that's great. Somebody your age, you know, if you stick at this and stick around, you're going to have 4,000 hours of multi-engine seaplane time in 5 years, you know, or close to on that. So then all of a sudden it's like, you're what everybody's going to want in 20 or 30 years, because you're going to be the one of, you know, what, 15 or 20 people in the world that can fly these, you know, heavy seaplanes.
Yeah.
That could qualify for insurance.
It's
Let me preface it with
that. It's just a small group of people.
Yeah, for sure. So getting that type rating. But highly, highly recommend seaplane stuff. I know we've kind of went on all kinds of different tangents here, but get your seaplane rating. If we got to say anything, you know, what was it? What was sexy? What did you name the last one?
So you think being a pilot is sexy.
You think being a pilot. Being a seaplane pilot is sexy. Like, I, you know, we don't have to think that being a pilot is sexy. Like, here, that's a good one. But no, it's super, super fun. It's, you know, I mean, after saying the comment with the most fun you can have with your clothes on, I know Bodie, I actually just got a text from him saying that he's ready to get his single engine seaplane rating and he wondering if he could do it with his shirt off or something.
I'm ready. See. I could, no shirt.
Okay, go on. You're rating on that. So, yeah, I mean, it is fun. And for anybody that's on the fence or like, how can it be fun? It's just amazing. It is amazing.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah. And you're going to try it and you're going to
literally
love it.
Every single person that does it, like, as soon as I get done with their first lesson, they're like, that was the most fun I've ever had.
We
like,
need to record that reaction every time.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, everyone's like, that was so cool. That was like a lot, whatever.
Well, nobody believes that it takes maximum of 10 hours to get your seaplane rating.
Yeah.
That always surprises everybody when we talk to them. If they haven't done any research at all, that always kind of catches everybody off guard. Get after it.
Get after it. Come get your seaplane rating, whether it's here in Alaska, Florida, you name it. Just do it. Give us a call at Brooks. Do whatever.
Tell them you know Cambry. Yeah. They'll give you a discount.
Will we? Is that something we're
not us, but I'm saying all the other places. Oh. So get your referencing them. You're going to start calling them up. Just be like, just type in whatever it is / Cambry and you'll go to the 10% discount code for the
except for rating. At the seaplane base I work at.
Yeah, except for that. We'll actually add 10% on to that so we can do that.
So, anyways.
You tell them you watched the podcast, and that's good. We had a young lady today that was said she had heard the podcast. She was into it, kind of going from there. And we had three people that came down to do their ratings and that type of stuff. So they came down. I think they're going to come back and do their seaplane rating.
I think we got them.
And it was because of you. You took them for a flight.
Yeah, I did take them for a flight.
You you had an opportunity to do some instruction.
Okay, can we not?
If that poor girl listens to this, I would like
so
to say,
bad.
I want to apologize on behalf
Her
of
name
Brooke,
is Brooke
Seaplane. Brooke?
Her name is Brooke.
Brooke, I want to apologize to you on behalf of Brooke Seaplane for my incompetent flight instructor.
I don't
pilot.
Know. I just got off a tour. My brain was in tour mode. And
you literally
like,
took
you
three
have a
pilots that just did a
I know
just
I,
did check
whenever
rides.
I take a pilot up and it's just a pilot and it's like, okay, me and the pilot and the beaver, like, it's like, yeah, like, this is an instructional flight. We're not doing a tour. And I always let them fly, and then I totally shat the bed today.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, Brooke, in advance.
Sorry, Brooke. Come back.
Come back.
I'm sorry.
Cambry will probably hog the controls again from you.
But, oh well.
I mean, that's, you know, Bodie always does Discovery flights, just won't let the Discovery student fly at all either, too.
Bodie's like, I haven't flown for a while. I'll just fly this one.
I actually, yeah, our lessons consist of them watching me
fly. Good. That's so. The easiest, fastest way to teach somebody how to fly. Is just, like,
just watch me.
Just watch.
It's
this
just
is what
like
you do.
What I do.
I don't like your stalls. Watch this.
Cool.
So, sorry, Brooke.
Sorry, Brooke. Well, I'm so sorry. Seriously, I talked about it. I think we've talked about it already like 5 times since you left. I'm sorry, Brooke.
You should be.
But we gave her a free hat.
You did give her a hat. She had a hat that needed overhauling. So we gave her a good hat.
Well, I think that hits all of it.
That it really does. So this is a super fun for us. We love talking about seaplanes. We tried to educate you guys through this. I don't. It's probably not as entertaining as some. I didn't see Brody laugh a single time through this. So
he's Logan laughing right
more.
Now.
This is fun.
I think he's laughing because he wants to. He either has to go to the bathroom or he
do.
Wants to go home. So there's that. All right, guys. Thank you. Hopefully you appreciate this. If you have any questions, comment it up. We always get back
message
to that.
Message us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or go to our website. There's like a thing where you can send a message. I get those things on the website. So if you write a message.
You talked to somebody today. You called them and talked for 45 minutes from an Instagram message.
Yeah, I did. That was today. That's
so
right.
That was awesome. So you do reach out to your followers and answer and help them in any way you can. We've actually done that twice today.
You have.
So thanks, guys. Have a great evening. Enjoy the podcast.
And tune in next week.
Like and share.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Is that what they say? And share. And we want to thank our official corporate sponsor,
Tim's Gunsmithing.
The world's greatest gunsmith here in Hayden, Idaho. He's a phenomenal gunsmith, and he's helped you with some weapons.
He's
helped
awesome.
Me with some weapons. So we love Jim. You can give him a call. You can look him up. You can do all of those types of things. But yeah, we thank Jim for everything that he does for the podcast.
He's the best. Well,
later.
Bye.